Hello, and welcome to SheePack Unleashed. I'm one of your hosts, Tanya.
I'm Nicole. Welcome to your weekly dose of candid discussion and the pursuit of finding your tribe in this journey of motherhood, womanhood, and sisterhood.
I'm Ashley. Join us as we leave no stone unturned. In each episode, we have heart-to-heart conversations that aim to challenge and empower one another.
I'm Jenny. No more waiting. SheePack Unleashed begins now.
Welcome to the special episode of the SheePack, the HeePack. My name is Beto, and we have here...
I'm Landon.
And who do you belong to,
Landon? Oh, that's right. Are we doing that? That's right. So I belong to Tanya.
Awesome. Hi, everybody. I'm Steve. I'm with Nicole.
My name is Bob, and I'm with Ashley.
And I guess that makes me belong to Jenny.
Woo!
Yay! We got that out of the way. First question, check.
We're doing so good at this podcast stuff.
We're great.
We're killing it.
Doing a real good job. We're really smooth. That's really smooth.
Nice.
Okay, so what are we here to talk about today, Beto?
Okay, so today we're here to talk about when... Okay, first question.
We're not reading from a prompt at all.
When do you realize that you were now a part of this whole group? Okay, so today we're talking about how we have all come together and kind of like in this forced friendship, right? It's been really hard to get to know you all. Of course, I'm being very sarcastic. Okay? As our wives have become really good friends with each other, basically established this sisterhood among them. So let's hear it.
Yeah, so we want to talk about, you know, when did we realize we were part of this whole group in the first place, right? So, yeah. I mean, for me, the relationships that Nicole had built over time, like, they sort of evolved over time, right? I mean, she met Jenny in the neighborhood that we used to live in through mutual friends, which I think was Ashley? Is that how it happened?
I think so. I think they all met together on a toddler baby walk. I think when Nicole was still pregnant.
That could very well be.
Yeah. That sounds right.
She's involved in many activities, so that could be for sure. So, I mean, for me, you know, it's like Nicole has a lot of friends. She does a lot of activities. So I think for me, I sort of let it feel itself out, right? See who she's going to be friends with long term. And also, I just try to, you know, I don't schedule my own activities or anything. So I just go to whatever activities she's pre-scheduled. And over the years, obviously, we have crossed paths many times at this point. So that, for me, you know, it was, you know, group trips. Like, we went to the mountains, we went to the cruise. It's like, okay, I'm here. This is our group now.
Yeah, it felt pretty, like, I'm trying to pinpoint, like, the moment that we're part of it. But I don't, there is a particular moment, maybe the beach house that we all went to,
that was
kind of a solidifying factor. Just like, oh yeah, we're gonna do this kind of big trip with this group of people. And I know there's a lot of other families there, but, you know, hanging with you guys was really nice. And
having kids that are similar aged, you know, similar interest, I think that makes a difference, right, too. So it's like, the moms are friends, the kids are friends.
Yeah.
Why aren't the dads friends?
No, I totally agree with you. I think for me, when I knew, like, the family that we kind of have now is going to stick around for a little bit, is when, like, three of the four of us were all neighbors, right? Mm-hmm. And we all kind of simultaneously split off from that old neighborhood within, like, months of each other, just kind of like a mass exodus of our group. But, like, it didn't break things down. So it wasn't just like a proximity thing anymore that was keeping us all together. It was very much, there was a deeper bond going on there. Like, our kids were now becoming closer friends. We were getting closer. The girls were obviously a lot closer. So there wasn't, distance wasn't a wedge in between us. So it was, for me, that was like, yeah, these people are going to be around for a little while in our lives.
What about you, Beto?
For me, well, we have had several house parties, right? That we have all come to each other's houses and help each other move, right? Mm-hmm. Done that to each other, yeah. And helping each other. So getting to know you guys little by little then, it was cool. I was a little shy, you know, to warm up to everyone. I'm always like that, you know? But I think that one time that I realized, okay, this is going to be our group. It was during the mountain trip, because we had the chance to like talk to each other and get to know each other better. So that was cool.
Yeah. I remember sitting around the fire pit there chatting.
Yeah.
That was good. I had a good time with that. And Friendsgivings.
Friendsgiving.
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah. We can't leave that out either. I think sharing a meal with people is important. It's a good way to build a bond.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. And so many fun times had in those memories. I think the mountain trip is the first time like we all really hung out in an extended period with each other, other than like at these events that we were being invited to, like here or there. Mm-hmm. Kind of hard when you're stuck inside of a house with somebody not to interact with them like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was cool, like how we were taking turns cooking each day. Mm-hmm. So everybody has like a special meal that we were preparing for the group.
Right.
That was like, I love the barbecue.
I remember that.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
It was fire. It was great.
Yeah.
It was
cool. And I don't know if at this point, like they actually plan it on, you know, if I leave it up to Jenny, she probably did plan it to have us all in a mountain in the middle of nowhere with nobody else to talk to. She's like, here, become friends.
It was a secret plot to that whole trip.
Yeah.
I think so.
It all felt pretty, you know, natural and organic, you know, like just thinking about how, you know, we do get together for parties and things like that. It's just, you know, just feels like we've known each other for a lot longer than, you know, we really have. So
yeah,
it's been nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Can we take a quick detour? And how would you label yourself? Would you label yourself as introverted or extroverted, and why? Let's start with you, Bob.
I like this detour. I'm very much an introverted extrovert. So I can come across very extroverted, like a lot of people at work know me as extroverted, or in like social situations, I try to be extroverted, but I would love to sit in my home on my couch by myself and recharge, or in like a smaller setting. So very much fall in that line of that introverted extrovert.
Yeah, I am 100% with you. Like I can appear to be extroverted. I can have extroverted conversations, but at the same time, I'm definitely an introvert at heart. I'm mostly extroverted in my professional life, right? Building business, building relationships there. I do devote a lot of my time to that. But admittedly, in my personal life, I'm very much introverted. Like I like to be at my house. My neighbors make jokes like that I'm within my bubble and like I don't really leave my bubble. And most of the time I'm in sweatpants anyway. So I'm in the right place. So what about you, Len?
I mean, I think I'm introverted. I mean, I like going out and doing things, like going to concerts and things like that. I don't know if that's considered extrovert, but, you know, like you, Bob, you know, introverted, extroverted, you know, can, you know, turn it on if I need to, you know,
right.
Don't feel too uncomfortable in those situations when I need to. But, you know, I think more on the lines of being an introverted person, for sure.
Yeah, that's fair. And Beto, there's a reason I saved you for the end. What is your self-labeling?
Well, I think that I am an extrovert at heart. I get energized by people just being in social situations. I have no problem going into a room full of strangers and establishing just random conversations at any point. So that's good. But I think like as I'm getting older, also, you know, you said, taking my time on my own, enjoying that quiet moment. And I think also it's because of the kids.
You know? Yeah.
Always have the kids around talking to you all the time.
Right.
My kids love sharing stuff with me. And sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's like, you told me the story 10 times already.
I'm with you on that. Yeah.
Silence is also golden sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, I enjoy those long bathroom breaks.
That's not
pure silence. Yeah, the silence. Still the knocking comes.
Yeah. Yes. Or the little hand under the door.
Like a cat.
Yes.
Little cat. That's funny. Yeah, I mean, the reason I asked that question in the first place is because I'm curious on your take of the second part of this question, which is like, do you guys have a lot of friends outside of this friend group? And I will start because like the answer for me is I don't have a lot of friends. But that doesn't bother me. Like, I don't go seeking friendships. Like, I don't seek that social interaction. Like you say, like, it fulfills me or, like, it energizes me. For me, I don't feel that way. So I don't hold a lot of friends outside of business relationships or, like, what I do in my professional life. So I'm just curious, like, what's your take after the answer that you gave, like, do you guys have a lot of outside friend groups?
I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess we have a couple different groups. You know, I play, been playing hockey with the same core group of guys for, you know, 20 plus years now since I've been out here. You know, there's 4 to 5 guys that I still, you know, that are still on the team that we still play together. So between that, you know, played softball for a while with some of those same guys, but other friends and things like that. And then, yeah, you know, I didn't live in the same neighborhood as you guys. We have our own neighborhood, you know, kind of pack that we run with that, you know, early on, especially when the kids were a little bit younger, when the families weren't as busy, we hung out quite often, pretty much at least once a month, maybe a lot more. Our backyard connects to our good friends right next door. So within 6 months of knowing that family, my buddy ended up ripping a hole in the fence and putting in a gate so that we could just go between our backyards. And so, yeah, so we have a couple core groups, but it's not like, you know, it's not like you're saying, or, you know, like Beto's saying, you know, like I don't go seek it out. You know, it's just naturally has happened, you know, just being part of sports or part of a neighborhood. But, you know, Tanya's a lot more, she would say she's probably introverted too, but she's probably a little more outgoing when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, sport, team sport, easy way to meet people, right? And for me, like, my sport of choice is singles tennis. So. Over to you, Beto. What about you? I mean, you must come across a ton of people with the dance and the, you know, all the activities.
I do have a lot of acquaintances.
Okay.
A lot That's of fair. People that know me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people that I know, and a lot of more people that I pretend to know. Because it's hard. I mean, I come across hundreds of people sometimes a week. And also, you know, it's kind of like, I don't want to sound, you know, a little, ¿cómo se dice? ¿Cómo se dice?
¿Cómo se dice? No, that's not going to work with any of us.
Like, snobbish? Snobbish, yeah.
Snobbish, okay.
But in this, I'm like a local celebrity. Like, a lot of people know me in this area. And
I saw that. I felt like we were in the presence of royalty the time we went out dancing with you, and we walk in and everybody's coming up to Beto and shaking his hand and passing envelopes to him with money.
Every Tuesday, everybody's coming to see Beto, I swear.
Yeah.
But so it's kind of, a lot of people know me, so it's kind of like hard for me to establish close relationships with everybody.
Yeah.
So I'm also very careful because I had been burned a few times with some people taking advantage of me or my status. So I'm kind of like a little reserved when it comes to who I let people in within my circle. So there's a lot of people that I know me, but not a lot of people that are in my circle. But you guys are in my circle.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, to build off that, like you, Steve, I don't really seek those kinds of friendships out. I don't have a lot of close relationships outside of like this group here. I don't have like organized sports that I go out and do either, or singles tennis. Although I take dance lessons with Beto every week and starting to make some relationships with the same kind of people that are coming to classes and doing that. So that's been nice to kind of meet people and go through that way. But it's a lot different than having like a close like bestie.
Well, it's tougher now too, just being, you know, getting older and having the kids, right?
Oh,
takes up all your time. So, mm-hmm. you know, seeking out, you know, those relationships where, you know, you go out and have a good time or whatever. It's more, I guess, those chances are now limited to get out outside of family and things like that.
Indeed so, they are. Right, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, to be fair, I'm perfectly happy playing soccer with my kid or drawing or coloring or playing video games, or, you know, there's plenty of activities I do with my kids that fulfill that need for me. So I don't, you know, I'm good. I'm happy.
Yeah. Well, in a way, it's healthy to be a friend with your kid. It's a good kind of friendship, not the kind of like equal friendship where you're kind of passive and letting them do whatever you want.
Right.
Like, let's go make mischief together. I mean, sometimes.
Let's TP that house.
But yeah, like I hear you. My kids are my friends to a Same. Degree, and I enjoy doing things with them. I spent the entire morning before coming here playing Uno and Mr. Toast with my 4-year-old over and over and over again, and consistently losing to him. But I had a good too fast.
Yeah.
But I had a good time doing that, and it was a lot of fun. It's rewarding to do that with them.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, yeah. Maybe we should get into some of the meat of the stuff that we're here to talk about, right?
Potentially, yeah.
Moms are looking for.
I guess so.
So being invited, I think, is very special to be on the podcast and be a part of this process, since like the girls have been really invested in doing this. So I feel special to be here. Is there anything that you want them to share, or anything you are nervous or unwilling that you, or like don't want them to share about your lives? Because I thought about this, and personally, like, I don't really mind anything that they want to share. I feel like the point of the podcast is to be an open book. So the good, the bad, the ugly kind of comes with that. I think I want them to share honestly what happens and what they're going through. I think that's kind of what I hope for when they come through this, and like listening to the episodes, I feel like that's a lot of what they're portraying and giving off is a lot of that, like, honest look at what their lives are like, their experiences are like, as they're doing these different like topics and stuff. And I'm curious what you guys think.
I've been listening to the podcast like all the time.
Big fan over here.
I'm a huge fan. Number one fan. I think I hit the first like on their video, on the first video.
Ooh. Ooh.
Dibs.
So that it's been fun to hearing their perspective and point of views, and especially how they experience the being a mother, parenthood, and opposed to us, because our experience is completely different, right? So that's been fun, informative, and very educational. And I try to take it as a positive feedback and constructive criticism. If and I think the girls, they are doing a great job and being, keeping everything positive and politically correct with everything, and also being honest about it, which is cool. You know, it just humanizes them and the message that they're portraying in the podcast, which is cool. And also, you know, we're people, you know, we have our flaws. We have the things that we do good, the things that we excel. And then the thing that we do really bad, like long breaks in the bathroom.
I think for me, like to your question, the very first thing I thought of was like, have you guys ever seen 8 Mile? And
yeah,
they do the rap battle.
Yeah.
And he's like, the way that I'm going to win this battle is I'm just going to lay it all out about myself so that they can't say anything bad. So like, I'm introverted and I like video games. No, honestly, I agree. I want them to be honest. I don't mind, you know, having Nicole come on a podcast and talk about me. It doesn't bother me. I feel like I try to be a good person. So I try to imagine like, what's the worst thing she could say about me? And I just like, there's nothing, like there's no secret. There's nothing there that I'm not willing to share. Mm-hmm. So I may not share it personally with people just because of my introverted nature, but I don't really mind if she talks about me or our relationship or our kids or the businesses. Like, it doesn't bother me. It's fine. I think people are curious, and it's okay to be curious. There's no problems with that. So
yeah, I'm with you. You know, I don't think there's anything in my history that, you know, I'd care to, you know, that would come out on the podcast. And I know that they, you know, I know the girls would, you know, do a good job of explaining, or, you know, putting it in a way that is relatable to people and things like that. So to be fair, I haven't listened to all but one of the, or I've only listened to one podcast. So I'm going to go ahead and put that out there. So, but I think it's a great avenue for them, you know, to express their feelings, and, you know, and they're a unique group. I don't think with other friend groups and things like that, or, you know, the friends that Tanya has, you know, that how open they are with one another. And that's pretty special to see, and to put it in a format that they're all willing to let it out there. That's pretty cool. I wouldn't normally do this. You know, I mean, I love making videos and things like that, you know, with Ryan, and, you know, I'm have been a bit of a video background and doing all that stuff, but, you know, sitting here and expressing, you know, expressing my life and things like that is not me. I like to joke around more and not really dig into things. So like what they have is definitely pretty special, you know, in a friendship. You know, you don't see that. You know, usually if somebody says something about somebody, you know, you don't talk to them for, you know, a couple months or whatever, or that, right, you know, that friendship is toast or whatever. But they're all very open and honest with one another, and it seems to work for them.
They all have this very special friendship. Mm-hmm. I remember when I saw all four of them together at the same time. I think it was at my house when they were doing their nails, like whatever that.
Manny Monday. I remember Manny Monday.
I remember that too. Yeah.
And you know, one time I hang out, and it was hilarious. Just to be that you know, that flea on the wall, and just listening to their conversations. Then later on, I met all of you guys when we were at the mountain house, and I told Yeti, he's like, this is like a sitcom. Like, I swear, like, this is so hilarious. Like, everybody has their own approaches to life and their own way that they look at things, and their own humor and their own kinks and so forth.
Yeah.
And I was like, we can make a show out of this. I don't know if that put the bogus.
They did make a show out of it. We're on it currently.
You should get some royalties for that.
No, I should.
It was a couple years in the making.
Yeah. And I remember that I told Jenny, he's like, this is the She-Wolf pack. And I started calling them that because I have watched that show. What is it called? The one that takes place in San Francisco with the
Real World?
No, the three, the
8 Mile.
All the twins and the three little girls.
Full House.
Yeah, Full House, yeah.
So the Full House, that was the new show. Fuller House.
Oh, the remake.
The remake.
From a couple years ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then they started calling each other, oh, yeah, we're the She-Wolf pack. And they started going, woohoo, like that with their hands. So I watched that show, and this is when their friendship was, you know, getting started. So I said,
right.
this is your She-Wolf pack, because Jenny and I would watch that show. And she got that reference, and now it's the She-Wolf pack.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Yo, I'm getting royalties for this.
You should.
I love that. I absolutely love that. Yeah, it's a very unique friendship that they all have. And I think that's what makes it so strong. I think that's what's brought them together so much. I think that's what's brought us together, all of our kids together, all of that. Yeah. And I think that's a nice segue in what we touched on a little bit. But we've taken a bunch of group trips together now at this point. We went to the mountains together. We went to a big-ass beach house together. And we went on a cruise together. I'm just curious, of those trips, which was your favorite that we've taken together? Because they all brought us all closer together, and it's so interesting to travel with people and see what you learn from others when you're traveling with them, because we all kind of handle our children a little bit different when we're mobile like that. We bring different stuff. We kind of approach it differently, and it's kind of cool to see that. But I'm curious, like, what was your favorite one?
I think the mountain trip was probably my favorite. Mm. I mean, the cruise was cool since the kids were a little bit older, and we got to do a lot of stuff on the boat together. But, you know, I like the quieter, you know, moments and being able to, you know, sit around the table and play games with you guys. I know, really enjoy that part of hanging out and then having the kids just, you know, be close and doing their own thing too. And so I think that was, you know, a little more intimate, just hanging with you guys versus that beach house was awesome. And yeah, there's a ton of people, right? And had a great time there too. But yeah, I think just the smaller group and being able to just sit around, have some drinks and play some card games is more my speed.
Okay. For me, it was the cruise.
Okay.
The reason it wasn't the beach house for me is because Nicole was the coordinator of that trip. There was many people there, yeah, and they all had questions and things they needed help with, and she did not enjoy herself. Mm-mm. So she was kind of miserable on that trip, to be honest with you. So that's not my first choice. The cruise I liked because, first of all, I like unlimited food. So I can eat anything anytime I want. I didn't cook it and I didn't clean it. And I do a lot of the cooking and cleaning here, so in this house. So it's nice to take a break from that. And the other thing for me is I am happy to come together in a common space during a day or an activity. But at the end, I want to go back to a private space,
okay,
which is my cabin, right? Yeah. I want to be able to like disconnect from all people. And that's where my cabin is. That's what my cabin did. So for me, it's like a perfect mix where we're always together. We're all on the boat. We're going to do some activities together, some activities separately. And then at the end of the day, everybody gets to go back to their own private space. So it's kind of, that's my preference. And we've been on a couple cruises and like, I always feel the same way about that.
That speaks to the introvert in you.
Exactly. Like, there's no surprises here with me. Like, if you understand who I am and what my personality is like, it's like the story makes sense, you know?
So Steve's looking forward to getting back to his cabin instead of hanging out with us on the next cruise. Yeah. Okay. Got it.
And adjourned.
I think for me, it was most likely the cabin. Because I like to cook, And I think cooking is like part of like growing a growing friendship, and you know, just getting to know each other, you're sharing something, and being able to like cook for you guys, I think it was cool. Like, so like, here's part of my culture and like part of my house, like taste it, kind of weird, in a weird way. And also eating the food that you guys in the barbecue.
I guess tough. I'm gonna have to share the recipe on the podcast, even though it's not my.
If he shares his royalties, you can share.
There we go. Yeah. No, I the food part too. Yeah, definitely enjoy cooking too, and enjoying whatever other people cook for us as well. That's yeah.
So I just wanted to quickly revisit something you said. I didn't get a chance to comment about it, but you said you've only listened to one podcast episode. Okay, yeah. You're one ahead of me. So I just want to be honest about that. Like, I also, like, I did say I don't really care if they come, you know, if Nicole comes on and talks about me, that's fine. It doesn't really bother me. But I also have like a don't ask, don't tell kind of a mentality too. Like, I don't know what you're saying, but like, she and I are very different people. Our brains are polar opposites, and it works for us. She has strengths where I have weaknesses, and vice versa. So like, that's one of the reasons that we're good when we run a business together. It's like, I'll focus on these things, you focus on these things, and it works. It meshes for us. So, but that being said, like, there's a lot of things that we just, not fundamentally, like all the fundamentals and the morals we agree on, and it makes our marriage work and our friendship work. But like, she just has such this different wavelength than me. Like, if I say red, she says blue, you know, like, so for me, I'm like, say what you want, but I'm not sure I want to know, you know, like, go ahead. I trust you. I know that we respect each other, and whatever you say is fine. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm not like looking to hear it either. That's So I just wanted to revisit that because I don't know. I just felt like I wanted to be honest about that. Like, I haven't seen the podcast. I haven't heard it. I know you've seen more of them than anybody. Mm-hmm. You've seen a bunch of them, right? Mm-hmm. And you've seen one of them. So.
Yeah. I haven't listened or watched them. Not, you know, it's not that I don't want to, or don't want to hear anything. It's just, I think it's out of laziness. Some of it's that I just don't listen to a lot of podcasts either, but yeah, I wouldn't, oh, I don't know. I was going to go with that. So
I think that's fair. Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's totally fine to differentiate or distinguish like why you haven't listened, or, you know, and we can have different reasons for that. I think that's fine. And I mean, let's be real. Sometimes I'm right over there in that office and like they're recording podcasts. Like, I've got my headphones on, they got their headphones on, and it's like, okay, talk about whatever you're talking about, you know?
Doesn't
bother me. So
there is something that you mentioned about how different Nicole is.
Yes.
Than you. Mm-hmm. Is that true for everybody? Is your spouse different?
Oh, good question.
Very much so. Ashley, very much so. Our brains work totally different. Like, she's got ADHD and like does these like mind games of pulling all of the like different data points together and drawing all of these like similarities and coincidences. Like, she'll pull everything together where I'm like, what? And like, I'm like 10 steps behind her, but I'm very calm and regulated on the other side of that. So our brains definitely work very, very differently, for sure. I think it works.
Ours is similar in that way. Like, if you see any spreadsheet Nicole builds, it makes perfect sense to her. But it's like, anybody looking at it, you're like, what happened here? So yeah, I get that. I agree with that.
I want to say Tanya and I are completely different. She's definitely much more organized and structured, you know, planning wise. And I do an organized kind of guy, but definitely not to the degree that Tanya is, you know, scheduling, you know, keeping up with Ryan stuff. And, you know, she's definitely on point with all of that, and appreciate that of her. And so, but, you know, I don't think we're too polar opposite when it comes to a lot of things. You know, we have a lot of similar tastes and, you know, and outlooks on things. And so, yeah, I don't think we're too opposite in that regard.
So sometimes I try to see if this is like a male female thing, personality thing. And then when I was going to business school, I found this tool online tool called the Hofstede Cultural Dimensions. So it has like shows you like six different categories of how different cultures are. Like, how can you divide them and analyze them like that? So when you compare the U.S. to the Ecuadorian culture, they're like opposite, completely opposite. Like, for instance, one is like in Ecuador, we are more of like a collectivist society, where that means that we don't think as a we, but we think more like a, I'm sorry, we think more like as a we instead of like an I. So if I want to do something, is this going to, how is this going to affect the community before I actually do it? Right. And well, in the US, it's more like an I. How is this going to affect me personally first before you think about what affects the rest? Right. So that and there's a couple of different things. When I show this to Jenny, it's like, this is why we're different. Right. This is why we have all these arguments. Because one time she let me plan a vacation and we went to Ecuador. And she asked me, okay, so we're leaving next week. What's the plan? I'm like, I got the plane tickets. That's the plan. Where are we staying? I guess with someone from my family. And then what are we doing when we get there? Well, I have my cousin that has his uncle and then that a friend of a friend that knows this place. And, you know, that was the very general plan. Nothing is specific, right?
It'll all be fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine. So what are we going to eat? Stuff, you know, food. But it was a great vacation. Again, it was completely different of what she had ever experienced because she's also a planner. She has all this list everywhere. Mm-hmm. And she has like by hour. Like when we used to go on vacation at first, it was like, okay, at this hour, we're going to do this. This hour, we're going to do that. And then we need to rush so we can make it to the third thing that we have to do. And I was like, no, this is exhausting for me. So we have to kind of like, we have come to like an agreement that we have to like lax time between things. Mm. Or like things that we can just do whatever we feel like, which is great.
Some compromises.
Yeah. Mm, yeah. So we have come to that conclusion of how we approach life. And I'm using vacation as an example. But she's like a very much organized. I'm just like, well, you know, I'm up today. Let's see what happens today.
Right. So, yeah. Yeah. Nicole's a planner too. Like she likes to plan everything, especially on a trip.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm like, build in break days. Make sure there's a nothing day. You know, so I feel you with that.
Yeah, I hear you because I'm very much similar. I'd love to just like go with the flow, but like three of the four of us have wild ADHD and can't do that. so like I like on vacations, like it feels almost like I used to be a classroom teacher. It feels like putting together like a classroom itinerary of like, we're going to do this at 8 and this at 9:30 and do this at 10. But like, that's how we end up having fun is because there's that predictability where like, not only Ashley, but the children know like, yeah, we're going to be able to go to the pool this morning and the arcade this afternoon and go to the room for like an hour of downtime and like at 4, like stuff like that. But it's definitely not my and not how I took vacations growing up either. We used to do trips with my dad a lot and he would be very much the same. Like, yeah, we'll just do whatever, which is incredibly frustrating now to try and plan trips with him. It's like, I can't just do whatever, man. Right. Like I got work and children. So like, we need to do some structured planning here. But that's interesting.
Can we switch topics? I have another question for you guys.
Yeah.
Okay. This could be our last topic, but I'm curious. And you guys might already know the answer to this, and I don't know, but like, I don't know if the She Pack did any sort of episode around parenting styles, strengths of each parent, and like roles and responsibilities of each parent. Mm. So I'm curious how it works in your families. Mm. Like for my family, I guess I'll just start, right? So for my family, like we definitely have a split in responsibilities. We found one thing that works really well for us is to do time splits, meaning like I'm not really a morning person. I don't like to get up early. Mm. I like to sleep. If I don't get 8 hours of sleep, I cannot function. Mm. So I need sleep. And so for me, like Nicole gets up in the morning and she does like breakfast, school, like gets the kids to school in the morning and stuff like that. Not on the weekends when I get up, I cook breakfast for the family and everything, but like I take my time to get up. So for me, she, you know, she's doing the thing in the morning and then I'm the afternoon evening person. Mm. So we'll split who cooks dinner.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's her, sometimes it's me, but I'm the bedtime routine person too. So we do stories together, or we pick an activity. Like, so if it's drawing or coloring or reading stories, like they'll pick books and we'll read our books, or, you know, it kind of depends. Cole is really our, I don't want to read books person. I want to do a different activity, like play Keep It Up with a balloon or something. Last time I did that, I almost broke my wrist. But but like that's our responsibility split happens there. And then we split for other things, like taking the kids to sports or an activity. Like sometimes her, sometimes it's me. So we do try to do 50-50 partnership on all of the roles and responsibilities within our house. And even when it comes to our kids, and our 50-50 split with the kids is like morning and afternoon for the most part. But I'm curious to see how it works in your family. Like,
Right now in the season of life that Ashley and I are currently in, I do a lot with the kids. Her job's super demanding at the moment and requires a lot longer hours than mine. So I'm up with the kids in the morning, doing breakfast, getting them out the door. And granted, she will take them physically to school because like my work day starts at like 7 a.m.
Oh.
But I'm done by like 3:30. So by the time they're getting home from school, I can be on for homework. I can run laundry. I do all the cooking, or I'll pick the little one up from school. So, and then I do bedtime as well. Cause like when she's working till like 6 o'clock, she's going right to dinner. And then right from that, like that's a lot without like having a proper commute since we both work from home. Like there's no break there. So like bedtime at night ends up being like kind of her commute and her break to give her like however long it takes to get those monsters to sleep sometimes. So that she can at least get that like break for it. And then like on the weekend, same thing with you. Like she needs that sleep. She needs to get like that X number of sleep where she can't function or be good for anybody. So like we're up playing games in the morning, things like that. So I find I'm facilitating a lot of like the like connection time with us, like very intentional, like let's all get together and make sure that they're reading Harry Potter right now. So like after dinner, or while I'm doing like dishes and like downstairs cleaning up after that, and make sure that they've got like the 30-40 minutes to read like a chapter of Harry Potter together. So they're spending time together and making sure she's getting that time with the kids. But she facilitates a lot of her stuff. Like she's the money manager in our house. She's like paying the bills. She's like my man working all that side of things. So like the split that we have where I'm a lot more hands-on of things, she's doing a lot more of like the mental labor for the family right now, especially with the work that she's got going on. So that's kind of the split that we currently have.
That's good. Yeah, Nicole does our finances also. I mean, she works in finance, it's hard for us, but yeah, she takes on a lot of mental load of our family also.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Beto?
So I work two jobs. So I work at the school in the morning, and morning and early afternoon, and at night, I teach the dance classes at the dance company. So for me, I'm always on the run. So there's never a time that I can sit down and like plan things. So Jenny's the one that does all the planning in our house. She plans, organizes the kids' activities, the vacations, everything in the calendar. So she takes care of all the mental work. And I am the one that is supposed to take the kids from point A to point B to whatever they need to be. So that's what we do it. And like I do the laundry. I clean, make sure that the kitchen is clean when I get home. So, and I wake up really early and I go to bed really late so I can function.
So you don't need 8 hours. Got it.
I usually sleep like 5, maybe 6 hours top, and I can be functional to a level if you ask her, of course.
Right.
but yeah, so I take care of the kids in the morning, make sure that they're ready to go to school. At night, usually it's the one that puts him to sleep because when I'm not there and I'm teaching dance classes. So yeah, it's tough, man.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer here, right? Yeah. I mean, it's just whatever works for your family.
I think we have a pretty even split of you know, responsibilities and duties, whatever you want to call them. You know, there's no necessarily set schedule for like our morning routine or evening routine, depending on, you know, Tanya's work shifts fluctuate a bit. So like right now, you know, gonna be taking Ryan to, you know, school, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Fridays in the morning. But it splits on, you know, who feels like getting up early enough to get things ready. Tanya's been more the early riser for a while now, where I was getting up a little earlier before, but it's been a long stretch here where she's definitely the earlier riser. And so, but you know, it's not like we have a, you know, like you need to do this tomorrow. You know, we don't have it written down or anything. It's just kind of like, sometimes it's how it feels like, hey, can you get up, you know, and with Ryan and the dog, and I just want to sleep a little bit longer. So, and then our evening routines, you know, again, it's, you know, it's pretty even split. You know, I do a lot of cleaning around the house. It's kind of one thing I enjoy doing. I do like cooking a lot. So I probably cook a little bit more than Tanya does. She's also loves to cook as well. So it's all pretty even, you know, split, you know, around responsibilities. She definitely, as far as, you know, doctor's appointments and things like that, she's definitely taken the lead on that. And then, you know, some of the like sports organizing and things like that. And you know, I signed him up for baseball, but like when it came to like the swim stuff, you know, Tanya had that down to a T as far as scheduling, what we need to do, where we need to be, and just followed her lead on that for sure. And I think we both kind of have that give and take where it's like, we know that you strive in doing those responsibilities and she does it and she has her own strengths and things like that. So, but yeah, I think it's a fairly even split down the middle when it comes to that.
So we can all applaud single parents at this point.
Yes. I was going to say.
Were you?
Too. Yeah.
And then I have a follow-up question maybe. And
okay.
Yeah. So we all recognize how much our wives, that they do for our kids, our family, or us. Okay. Mm-hmm. Would you see, this kind of like a kiss-up question. So there is a wrong answer. How do you see your house, your household, your family functioning as a single parent without your spouses being there?
Ooh.
I'm gonna go ahead and say this. I think I'd be okay. It would be a big struggle.
Yeah, it would.
It'd be a big struggle, and that'd be a big piece missing for sure. But I think I could. I think Tanya would say like, I think you could handle it. I think you'd be okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would also be okay, but yeah, there are parts of my household that would crumble. And yeah, what I mean is, like, I don't know a lot about our finances. I just try to make as much money as I can. And then when I swipe my digital credit card, like my digital credits, I expect my digital credits to be there. Like, I just want to, you know, I don't buy a lot of stuff, but...
Right.
But I don't like, and I said earlier, like Nicole takes on a lot of the mental load in our family. She does all of the planning,
right?
All of the schmoozing with people and all of the, you know, financial management and just so much of that stuff. And I told her, I said, like, if you ever die, I'm selling off all the businesses. I'm closing it all down. You know, we're downsizing the house, like just too much for me to manage, you know? So, but from a parenting perspective, you know, I invest my time in my kids and my family. Right. Like, I don't have a lot of external friends. So for me, like, my family is my core group.
Yeah.
And I, from that perspective, I have a very strong relationship with my kids and of course with my wife. So for me, I think it would be okay. But to your point, there would be nothing easy about it.
Right.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Same, Steve. I think there are definitely parts of the household that just absolute crumble, just like fall to pieces. I think we eventually find a way to be okay, but it would take an extreme amount of work to do so. Like, it is not lost on me at all the amount of work my wife does, sometimes unfairly, to support our family and keep things afloat and keeps things going. So like, would the kids eat, bathe, and brush their teeth? Sure would. But there would definitely be other parts of our lives that would suffer for it. And that, saying that out loud, admitting that, that makes me uncomfortable. Like, that doesn't feel fair. Doesn't feel like that should be. I wish I could answer more confidently the other way and be like, oh yeah, no shit, we'd be fine. But like, eventually, not as quickly as probably we would need to be.
Well, and that's the thing about a partnership is, like, you build this trust over time, right? You take on a workload that you split. And then if you all of a sudden had to take on all of that workload, it's unfairly balanced. Like, it's too much for one person, right?
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Beto?
Well, for me, the reason why I started working at my kids' school is so I can be more involved and be there for the kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't I mean, it's a teacher salary.
Right.
It doesn't pay great. That's well known, unfortunately. So I wouldn't be able to do that job during the day. I will have to find something else
right.
to be able to support the children. And I wouldn't be able to dance. I wouldn't be able to run a dance company at all. Like, my life will completely have to change.
Mm.
And just to be able to have that time to do the planning, to keep up with the laundry, dude.
Mm.
Laundry and all the activities that the kids do, because our kids are very active.
Right.
So definitely a big part of our life will suffer. My personal professional life will completely change. My kids will probably have to get used to wearing like clothes that don't fit them anymore. So
that's a big one. That's a big one. It's that you point that out, right? As far as like taking leads on stuff, right? And Tanya goes to all these consignment sales, you know, like, you know, 3-4 times a year, and to get, you know, stock up on the next size up for Ryan, right? And so, yeah, those type of things, right? Is like, you, again, it's like one of those things, again, that you kind of take for granted a little bit, but it's also like, again, it's the strengths that you know, each partner leans into, right? You know, Tanya, like we said, like, well, across the board, you know, planning, obviously all of our wives are okay when it comes to planning. And
yeah, they planned an entire cruise in 24 hours.
Yes.
Right.
So yeah, they're really good at that.
Right. They got us organized here. Right. Do this. So, but yeah, it's definitely a good point. And just want to say, like, we only have one kid versus, you know, you guys all have two. So, and so again, it would make it a little bit, you know, easier, you know, to plan things out and things of that nature. And Ryan's also a little bit older now too, where it's obviously still a big responsibility, but he can do his own thing and he's got other friends and things that could support, and, you know, and, you know, getting to the point now where he can do sleepovers and things like that, you know? So it's, you know, in that aspect, it's getting easier in those type of things, but, you know, it's never a cakewalk.
The challenges change over
yes,
time.
Yes.
It never stops. Right. It's just going to be something different.
It's always
different. Until they're like 35.
Yeah.
I had my own challenges with my parents. They're still dealing with my shit.
It is crazy, all of the different things that parenthood presents as the kids grow older, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that Cruz is 9. He will be 10 this year. And you can see how it's like his personality is changing. He's mm-hmm. more responsible. He's a little more independent now.
Yeah.
And then Luna, she's 5. She's like, man, I'm old now. I can do my own things. Yo, I almost lost her the other day. I'm not proud of it. It's just that we were at the museum. I was doing a show there. And like packing up, my mom is supposed to hold her hand, you know, but she kind of like loses her hand trying to help me pack. And then all of a sudden I turn around, it's like, where is Luna? And she's like, I don't know. She was right here just a second ago. So Luna have gotten out of the museum, started going downstairs to the parking lot.
No.
Yes, where Jenny was, have walked with Cruz, because Cruz was a little bit overwhelmed. He needed a break. Mm. So she had taken him down. So Luna was following her.
And oh, God.
From what Jenny tells me, she's like, Luna was saying, he's like, I'm 5 now. I can do my own thing. I can feed myself breakfast. I can walk.
Yeah.
I can walk down to the car by myself. I can do this by myself. And she's like kind of like basically pep talking herself like to running away, right?
No, it's called independence.
Independence. I'm like, girl, you're only 5.
Yeah.
And then I was trying to explain that to her. And she's like, no. He's like, but I'm 5 now, daddy. I'm a big girl. I'm like, you're not that big.
The second kid gets exposed to the thing that the first kid got exposed
for sure.
So much sooner.
Yep.
Yes.
It's like, I was setting up video game profiles for them the other day, and like age restrictions and all the parental filtering and stuff. Right. And it's like, I set Evan is 8. I set his profile up so he can play any games appropriate for age 9 and under.
Right.
So I don't have to do it when he turns 9. And then I was setting Cole's profile up and I was like, 9 or under. Like, because they're going to play games together.
Right.
And you know, it's not like that's the only example, but I play a lot of video games. So
right.
For me, you know, it came to me first, but it's a lot of stuff like that. That's just the second kid. You just like, you buckle up because you're going to get exposed.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, absolutely.
Well, they went to the movies the other day with their grandparents, and they ended up telling Nicole and I that they went into the wrong theater and they were seeing previews that were scary.
Oh God.
They went into the wrong movie. And the previews were like traumatizing, I guess. I don't know. Evan told me, like, Dad, I closed my eyes and I covered my ears and like my head was down the whole time. So I didn't see it. Okay.
Oh. Yeah. So my brothers, they're more open to whatever, allowing their kids to watch whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom usually babysits the kids a lot, right? So she was watching some movie with Cruz. It was the Avatar, like the water one.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So of course, there's some scary parts. And Cruz was kind of fine with it, but Luna was there watching too. And she told my mom, of course. Oh.
They do.
We're watching some really scary stuff, Mom. And she was like, I cannot go to sleep.
Oh, man.
Girl. So, yeah, poor girl. Definitely. So, with that said, we're ready to finish it up?
I think so.
Think we should wrap it up.
Okay. All right. Well, this wraps up this week's episode of, well, the special episode of the She Pack called the He Pack episode. We hope you enjoyed getting to know us. The men behind the She Pack, and maybe we'll see you again.
Maybe not.
It's up to the lady.
We'll see if we get invited back.
Need to do a big joint 8-people podcast.
Ooh. Oh,
all the ladies.
That will be.
There's a long pause there when you said joint, so I was like, we're all going to do a long joint.
Not in this episode. Right. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss out on our future adventures. And if you want to stay connected and share your thoughts, you can find us on social media at SheePack Unleashed.
Thank you for being part of our pack.
This is Landon, Steve, Beto, Ba signing off. Stay wild and fierce.
Hello.
Hello.
Harmonize.
Do, re, mi.
They will murder us.
None of us will make it home tonight.
Okay, you guys ready?
Ready.
Yeah. Right. Let's dig in.
1, 2, 3. Welcome to the HIPAC episode of... I messed that up.
Yeah. Cut.
I got to do a quick break for a second.
No problem.
I need to clear my throat.
Okay.
I don't want to make those sounds in the background.
Let me clear my throat.
Okay, now you can say anything honestly about Beto that you want.
Who invited him? Peace.
You were listening the whole time?
they probably had a headphones upstairs, yeah. Secret listening.
They've had a direct line in.
They're gonna come down and yeah. They've already.